It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Hi, happy Friday. Friday vibes are way up today. Which I don't know why. Nobody's been in the office all week.
Just us here, pretty much. Just in case. Well,
I feel like Just in Case is the Cal Ripken of this station.
Probably.
Dude tore up his finger and I don't know if he missed a show. He's just here every day.
He is here every day.
There's unconfirmed that Just in Case from 96.9 The Eagle lives here at the Ridge. But part of the thing is there's Paul Marshall down at 98 Rock.
Yep.
We don't have a morning person for Alt 94.7.
Okay.
Just in Case from The Eagle, of course. And then The Wake Up Call. The legendary morning show that's on 106.5 The End, they're off this week.
Oh.
So when The Wake Up Call is not here, that's a high energy group.
It is a higher energy group.
We'll call them that.
Yeah.
So when they are here, it changes the vibe, whether one of them is in the kitchen or all three of them are in the kitchen, Gavin, Katie, and Kevin. The vibe is just different when they're around. So they haven't been here. And then the sales team is already at home on Mondays and Fridays.
Yep.
The boss wasn't here Tuesday.
Which you know what that means, Kyle.
If you've ever worked in an office, you know what it means when the boss isn't in.
Everybody has a doctor's appointment that day.
Yeah, or something.
Yeah.
And then Wednesday was a day out at the Rivercats game for everybody except ESPN 1320, save for Charlie and Joe. And most people just went to that straight from home because the game was like at noon, so people weren't going to come in for a couple hours and then leave. So, so it's been pretty dead all week, and then we get to Friday, and it feels even more dead, which I don't know how.
Well, this is why we don't have Donut Friday.
Exactly.
We have Donut Friday on Thursdays.
To satisfy the amount of people here on a Donut Friday today, we would have needed like 5 donuts.
Yeah, maybe 8 donuts.
8's a good number. Can you order 8 donuts at a donut shop?
You can, but you're not going to get the discount for a dozen, which I don't know. I mean, it's so expensive now to order donuts anyway.
It really is. It's roughly 2 hours of work to order a dozen and a half donuts. I did the math. But, well, what do you want me to do? Eric, real quick, before we keep talking about donuts, Eric in the chatty house at youtube.com/ESPN1320 asked, when are you having Faraz on? That's a great question. Today at 11:20, Faraz Siddiqui
is that day.
Our very first Fantasy Friday of the year is going to be at 11:20. Really excited to talk to Faraz from Upper Hand Fantasy. That is an Odyssey Fantasy podcast, but Faraz does great work on Instagram. His draft guide is out. You need to go cop that right now. UpperHandFantasy.com is the website. He is one of the smartest fantasy analysts out, and he is joining us at 11:20. And he'll be with us every Friday during the season. So really excited to talk some fantasy football with Faraz. Tons going on in the NFL this season. Just got to kind of recap and talk about some of the fantasy impact of some of the movement around the league. We'll also talk to Anthony Slater at 10:45. Anthony Slater, now of ESPN.
Yeah.
I got to not mess that up. ESPN's Anthony Slater is going to join us at 10:45 to talk about the latest on the Jonathan Kuminga situation from Golden State side.
Yeah.
Because I think that's a pretty significant piece of this because they sort of hold the cards with how this goes.
I don't think, like, at the end of the day, I don't think anyone really holds all the cards.
Mm-hmm.
But they certainly are going to have their input on what happens next. And they're trying to hold on to an asset or at least get something for that asset. Right. And so, I mean, it's like I've said so many times, this is such a complicated transaction that if you were to pull this off, you know, it has a ripple effect. You know, you're going to get Jonathan Kuminga. It's going to cost you a couple of players and a pick.
Mm-hmm.
But then on top of that, to get underneath the luxury tax, you're going to have to go do something else.
Yeah.
And that's what makes this so complicated.
Yeah. So we'll dive into all of that here in a little bit. And then, of course, we'll talk with Anthony Slater from ESPN at 10:45. He covers the Warriors in the NBA for ESPN. Really excited to talk to Slates. But anyways, back to the more important thing of ordering donuts. So I feel like when I go into a donut shop,
mm-hmm.
you can order a donut because that's for me. You can order 2 donuts. Because to me, that's like, okay, me and maybe I'm having two donuts or maybe me and one other person.
Yep.
I feel when you start getting north of three donuts, you can't order four. And somebody might be listening and might go, I'm a family of four. I am a mom or a dad.
Yeah.
I have a spouse. I have two children. I order four donuts. Then just order six. Order that half dozen. You've got two extra. I know. But going, hey, I need four donuts. Like, to hell with that. Get the six.
I think
get a half dozen.
There's nothing worse waiting in line when someone has no idea what they're there to order and they just sit there and like choose two or three donuts at a time. And then they keep asking for a count. And it's like, okay, count your own donuts when you're asking for them.
It's not.
I want three glaze, and can I get two of those sprinkles over there? Not that sprinkle, the other sprinkle. And you're like, okay, how many donuts is that? It's five. Everyone behind you in line, we all know you're at five donuts. Keep ordering. Stop. Either you're done or you're not done.
You're getting 12. You know you're way short of 12.
You know you're way short.
You know you're short. Even if you're like, am I five, six, seven? I did less than 12. You're going to order two of something.
Yeah.
You'll still be like, I'm with you, man. I go into the donut shop. Salute to Baker Ben's. I know for sure. All right. I'm getting 18 donuts. I want it in one box. And I'm going to start with three glaze, three chocolate. I'm at six. And then as I'm... like you said, as you go, okay, let's see. Let's do two chocolate old fashioned. That's eight. I'm going to do a maple bar and a chocolate bar. Okay, now I'm at 10. I got eight more to go. And then I kind of survey real quick while they're putting all that in. Then I survey the landscape and decide what little curveballs I'm going to throw into this week's box of donuts. It's not a difficult process.
No.
And if you don't know, that's fine. I'm not even saying like because maybe you're picking up donuts for the first time ever in your life. Which, salute.
Yeah.
Just go, can I just get a mixed box?
Well, see, and that's what I walk up and I'm like, I need two dozen, one box, no coconut. Because no one eats a coconut once.
Not a single. I noticed that with the sugar donut.
Oh.
I thought the sugar donut was a popular donut.
No.
It's not. It's always the last one in there.
Well, I always say.
The plain cake, which I get as a bit, goes before the sugar donut.
That's wild. I always ask for one blueberry because that's what I typically
eat. That's your bag. Yeah.
Yeah. But then even yesterday, I didn't even have a donut. So I'm like,
Man.
Boy.
Salute to the plain cake donut. I always get that and they're like, you want that? I'm like, yes.
They're like, we don't even know why we keep making them.
Hey, we got to make one. Hey, it's Donut Thursday.
To fill up the a dozen donuts with a waster donut.
Man.
It's awesome.
All right, we have some Raiders news we got to get to as well. But before we do that, Shams Charania reported or had some, I guess, kind of new reporting on Jonathan Kuminga. It's more of different words to sort of get to the same spot.
Yeah.
But there's a couple of interesting takeaways I want to get to from this. We're just going to play the full audio. This is Shams Charania's hit on ESPN yesterday, talking about the latest in the Jonathan Kuminga situation, because Shams actually went to Kuminga's workout and spoke with Kuminga. So here's what Shams Charania had to say.
And we now welcome in our senior insider, Shams Charania, who is in Miami. Shams, why has it been such a slow start to the offseason for the Golden State Warriors?
Vanessa, the Warriors' entire offseason has been essentially on pause for one player, and that's the restricted free agent Jonathan Kuminga, and they have wanted to figure out his situation before making their other offseason moves. And so I saw Jonathan Kuminga this morning at a workout in Miami. He's in good spirits. He had a good workout. He did tell me, though, that he is in absolutely no rush on doing a deal with the Warriors right now, and he's not accepting their current offers. He added that he wants to continue to explore options with his agent, Aaron Turner, whether that's continuing conversations with the Warriors, but also sign and trade options that are available to him in the marketplace.
Okay, Sham, so you use the term options. What do those other options for Jonathan Kuminga look like?
I'm told the Phoenix Suns and the Sacramento Kings are two teams that have made concrete offers with the Warriors over the last week or so. They're two of the more aggressive teams with Kuminga, and they're also offering him an opportunity for significant minutes, a starting caliber role in their lineup, and those are two things that he wants more than anything. So where this is at, Vanessa, is the Warriors do not want anything, though, that is available to them, is being offered to them in sign and trades. And on the other hand, with Jonathan Kuminga, he is not ready to move forward with taking any of the Warriors' current offers. He's not in a hurry to do a deal there yet. And so 24 days into the offseason, it's a staring contest between these two sides that could continue much longer than just this month. And so we're nearing August and still no Warriors move so far.
All right, Shams Charania via ESPN. Someday, Shams is going to really start crushing it on TV.
Someday.
You can tell my guy is not comfortable on the camera.
No, it really does feel like he's reading.
Yeah,
half the time, yeah. And yeah, like again, it's tough.
Take a deep breath, dog.
Yeah,
you're really good at this. You've got all the info.
You do have all the info.
Yeah, salute to Shams. So, I do think the thing I took away from that was the concrete offers from Phoenix and Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
There's no indication that it's anything different than what's previously been reported.
No,
Carter,
I mean,
Sarge, Devin Carter, and a couple of twos.
A couple of seconds or potentially a protected first.
Right. Maybe they went, this is how we'll go. A top 12 protected first or whatever it is.
Yep.
Which, okay. Concrete to me says this is it. There's no negotiation here. This is a concrete offer. It's all done. This is what we're offering. Take it or leave it. We're not going to keep talking to you about this. You figure out your life. And the more that comes out about Kuminga and the Warriors are trying to make offers, they're trying to be aggressive and get a deal done so they can move on with their offseason.
Mm-hmm.
Because the other reporting out of Golden State is that they've got D'Anthony Melton lined up. They've got Al Horford lined up.
Mm-hmm.
They have Seth Curry lined up. And they're just kind of waiting for this Kuminga domino to fall so they can get on with what they're trying to do this offseason. But Kuminga's camp is like, nah. We'll do it. We'll wait.
They are so far apart on not just the money going, mm-hmm. the transactional portion of this, but I don't think anyone in Golden State has a role carved out for Kuminga, and Kuminga knows this.
Yep.
And what he's looking at is, are you really just going to sign me and use me as a trade chip in December or January or February
mm-hmm.
to go get a player that you might want more? Is that all we're doing here?
Mm-hmm.
Because it makes it really, really awkward, right? And if he keeps pushing, I believe there is a 6-month rule in place here where if he keeps holding out and doesn't sign that deal, mm-hmm. they have to wait a full 6 months before they can trade him. So there's going to be like other aspects to this that start to come into play. And like, look, I get it. You have a player who thinks he's worth X amount of dollar.
Mm-hmm.
You have a team who looks at him and goes, okay, we can't lose him for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And then but every transaction in the league has its own complexities.
Mm-hmm.
And the base year compensation thing is one thing when it comes to Kuminga. And I think that there are so many things out there. Like no one knows exactly what a player is worth until they get their contract. Right. And even then, oh, my man, he's way, way overpaid, or, oh, it's one of the best deals in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Like it just comes down to like what you get in these negotiations. And I Fred Katz has been sending out like emails to execs or talking to execs.
Mm-hmm.
And they have like a thing they fill out, like a form they fill out. You get 16 executives to chime in on the Kuminga deal. And like most of the answers on his pay scale from competing executives range from $17 to $25 million annually, with the average annual value in the poll that they sent out was $20.4 million. And, again, he wants 25 to 30, and he wants the high end. But even Fred Katz in the article, I believe he said that there's one person out there who said, we do a full 5-year 125.
Right.
Everyone else is like, we're probably closer to a 3-year 60
mm-hmm.
or a 3-year 70 at the highest. The prevailing idea here was that he's not worth nearly as much as he thinks he is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like the market. Like,
yeah.
It's like, again, when you're you're going to sell your house, you know, you have your real estate agent pull up comps.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes your comps are just way off. You're like, sure. Oh, well, we see ourselves as that house right there. It's like, hey, bro, that house is 1,000 square feet and the kitchen's been updated.
Right.
Like, you have single pane windows. It's got full double pane windows. Right. And it just got a new roof and your roof is 30 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And they have lakefront and you don't.
Right.
Yeah. So it's complicated. And again, the player is going to have to come to the realization that he's not getting what he thought he was getting.
And even, and we say this all the time, and we'll put a pin in this discussion briefly and get back to it. And remember, Anthony Slater at 10:45 is going to join us. We'll get some reporting from him on the Warriors side and how the Warriors are kind of approaching this. But I keep coming back to this because the person in the Fred Katz article in The Athletic / The New York Times said the person who was really high on Jonathan Kuminga's ceiling and would do the 5 years, 125, compared him to Jaden McDaniels.
Mm.
And said he's in a similar spot in his career to Jaden McDaniels when Jaden McDaniels got 5 and 131. And said, this anonymous executive said, McDaniels was great in his role, but Kuminga has a higher ceiling, blah, 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 blah. This is the issue with Jonathan Kuminga. It's the issue for the Warriors. It's an issue that I foresee for the Kings. It's an issue I would foresee for Phoenix or any other team that Jonathan Kuminga plays on. Is Jaden McDaniels was great in his role. I don't know what Jonathan Kuminga's role is.
Yeah.
I don't know what I know what he's good at. I've watched him score 30 in a playoff game against a really good defense. I don't know where he fits in an NBA ecosystem that affects winning. I'm not saying he can't or he doesn't. He has not shown it yet.
He has yet to prove.
And if you're a team that's shelling out $25 to $30 million a year for this guy, you're doing that and then going, I'm not really sure how he's going to help us, but we hope he does. That's a pretty big gamble to make. We'll continue talking about this. Anthony Slater from ESPN going to join us at 10:45. Faraz Siddiqui at 11:20, our first Fantasy Friday of the year. We're going to talk about some NFL news, what it means for the fantasy landscape, and we'll start getting you geared up for your fantasy football seasons with Faraz Siddiqui of Underhand Fantasy at 11:20. We've got Raiders news. We've got training camp stuff. We've got more on Jonathan Kuminga. Tons to do on a Friday. Hope you hang out with us. That's James. I'm Kyle. No Joe Brazil today. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. It's ESPN 1320, and that is Sacramento Sports Leader. There's the swing and miss. Here we go.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Forgot to turn my buttons on.
Long as we're on the air.
We're on the air. We are on the air. Which is a huge W. I've managed to not leave us off the air 2 days in a row. I'm really proud of me. No Joe Brazil. He is on assignment. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. The show is much more difficult when Joe's not here. So it's fine. We're working it out. We're doing it. We're going to survive. I hope.
We are survivors, Kyle.
Yeah, we are. We'll have more on Jonathan Kuminga in a little bit with Anthony Slater from ESPN. He's going to join us at 10:45. We had some interesting Raiders news yesterday.
It's weird.
I can't tell if this is a good sign for Vegas or a bad sign. So the Raiders released Christian Wilkins. Christian Wilkins was their star free agent signing last offseason. They gave him a ton of money after he was a dominant player with the Miami Dolphins, and he wound up playing 5 games for the Raiders.
Mm.
They released him yesterday. He is turning 30 in December. They released Wilkins yesterday and withheld the remaining $35.2 million guarantee on his contract, citing a disagreement over how he rehabbed his foot injury. That was a 4-year, $110 million deal with $57.5 million guaranteed at signing.
Mm.
They withheld the final, voided, I should say, the $35 million in guarantees when they waived him. So they didn't have to pay him out. They don't have that cap charge. And he's just off of their roster. Of course, you can't just do that. There's immediately a grievance filed and this will now become a whole big thing with lawyers and arbitrators and all that jazz.
Of course.
I can't decide, so we'll have to let that play out. I was not with Christian Wilkins during rehab. I don't know how he took it. They wanted him to have a second surgery, and he disagreed and all this other stuff. That'll all work itself out. I can't decide if this is a good or bad story for the Raiders.
I don't think it looks good at all. I mean, like, look, we talked a couple of days ago about the vibes being up, right?
Yeah.
If like, look, if he was not doing his rehab and is just hanging out, and like the idea from him is just to like collect paychecks and not actually get back on the field, then that's a problem. And again, he had a Jones fracture, and so sometimes it does take a second surgery, especially if you're not doing your basic rehab stuff. But I don't know, it's tough. I think that when you're a team that isn't like one of the big name teams out there that just draws free agents everywhere. And the Raiders aren't going to have a ton of problems drawing free agents because they are a storied franchise and they also play in Vegas where some people like to play. But to burn down one of the best free agent acquisitions you've had in the last like decade, just to like burn him down completely and then waive him, like this is, it's not a good look. And I don't think that you're always worried about, you know, a good look, but we hadn't heard anything about problems with Wilkins until they waive him and say, oh, well, he's not doing his rehab, basically.
Right. So there's a chance this is super skeezy.
Yeah.
There's a chance that this is a super cop-out where they're making something up to try and save $35 million because they didn't want this player anymore. And instead of following the salary cap rules and maneuvers that everyone else has to do, they're trying to skirt it by saying, well, we didn't like how he did his rehab. Now, the other part of this is I tend to think, I'm just going to play devil's advocate here, because I do agree with you that it's, when I first saw that, I was like, oh no, Raiders, this is, oof. But one, I don't think Pete Carroll and John Spytek would have signed off on such a move if there was not some rock solid evidence that they were going to be right.
Yeah.
Or that they were going to have this go their way. They didn't say, hey, they're not going, let's see. We wanted him to do 8 sprints and he only did 7. Yeah, that's what we'll say. I don't think it's that. I think there's probably something they believe is concrete. Now, whether that holds up, I don't know. The other side of this, And when I say, is this good news for the Raiders? To me, this is this could be a sign that the culture is shifting. That the days of, you got paid, so hey, you're being paid by us. You're not taking your rehab serious, but we're just going to kind of let you hang around. We're going to let you be one of the highest paid guys on the team, and you're just kind of be this elephant in the room all year, and we'll deal with it behind the scenes.
Yeah.
It's going to be a distraction, but we'll deal with it because we're paying you. Pete Carroll, John Spytek went, nah, we're done with this. You're done. You didn't take your rehab seriously. We're going to void that $35 million. Good luck with your career.
Yeah.
Now, maybe that's, and maybe it's a gray area between the two. Classic gray area. Maybe this is sleazy. Maybe this does suck. That they're trying to kind of finagle a way out of having to pay out this $35 million in guarantees. But I think it's also a sign of that culture shift that we're talking about. Hey, you're not taking this seriously, you're done. Now, maybe the money part of it is sleazy, but hey, you know what? Christian Wilkins, we don't care what you're paying you. We don't care what you've done in the past. You're not what we're looking for. So we talk about all the Kings, the right type of player, right? Who's going to play the game the right way, who's going to do the things that Pete Carroll and John Spytek want him to do. And he wasn't doing it. So they got rid of him. And they said, we'll find somebody else. They might not have the pedigree, they may not have the resume, but you know what? We're going to find somebody else who will at least do this job the way we think it should be done.
No, I get that. And I think that, you know, waiving a player, that's your prerogative, right? Like we saw the Russell Wilson thing a couple of years ago where it's like he just became... He was making so much money and they didn't care. The Broncos just paid him out and said, go away. right? But mm-hmm. that's not what this is. This is cutting a guy and basically paying him to go away, but then not paying him and yeah. saying and coming up with an excuse. And, you know, to be honest, it's kind of classic Raiders. And that's one of the problems that you're going to have. You're going to have people looking at this that's a true. Little sideways and saying, hey, I don't think I want my client to sign there if this is how they handle players. And you might be right. It could just very well be that, like, Wilkins is just not doing his job. Mm-hmm. He's just not doing the basics to stay in shape or to, you know, to get back on the field. But at the same time, man, it just looks bad. And maybe you should have come up with an injury settlement instead. Mm-hmm. But I have a tough time believing that the Raiders will win an arbitration case in this situation mm-hmm. because you gave him guaranteed money.
Yeah.
Like, it says guaranteed on it for a reason.
It takes a lot to be able to waive or void guaranteed money.
You got to prove that he's like literally sitting there like doing the opposite of rehab.
Right. Yeah. Breaking his foot on purpose.
Yeah. He's out there kicking a soccer ball in some weird league. And you're like, wait, you're supposed to have a bad foot.
And somebody brought, I meant to save it and then very quickly lost it because that's how this always goes with me in the chat. But somebody said it, the timing of it is really suspicious. There it is. Justin Peterson said timing is super suspicious for the cutting with the current state of the NFL Players Association.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think that when we're looping in this Players Association discussion, because if you've happened to miss it, the executive director of the Players Association resigned last week, and so did the chief strategy officer / former president of the Players Association, J.C. Treader. They're both gone now. Now the NFLPA is trying to rally and find new leadership. So they are filing a grievance without firm leadership. So I do think there's something to that. But this also comes back to one of the reasons that J.C. Treader is resigning. He says it's not. I'm going to believe it is. A clip surfaced of him on a podcast telling Ross Tucker, it was Ross Tucker podcast, which I think is an Odyssey pod. I don't know. Anyways, he told Ross Tucker, hey, players, if they're not happy with their contract situations, should fake injuries. It's more or less what he said. Mm. And if you think I'm exaggerating, go listen to the clip. It's crazy. But the NFL went to court with the NFLPA over this and said, dude, you're the president of the Players Association is telling people to fake injuries? That's crazy. And the NFL won this ruling that, hey, you can't, that's wild that he said. So the NFL wins this ruling. This, to me, could come up with the Christian Wilkins thing.
Yeah.
Like, he wasn't happy in Vegas, so he was going, hey, you know what? Now my foot's just not healing the right way, when he wasn't actually doing the right stuff. And so he thought, again,
this is a possibility.
I could see the NFL arguing this. Well, he thought that he could just get out of this contract, get his guaranteed money, and sign elsewhere and do his rehab elsewhere because he didn't want to be in Vegas anymore. So he didn't take his rehab seriously. I could see the Raiders making that argument. I could see the NFL making that argument. Now, again, I don't know the very specific details of what they wanted from him and what he was doing and what the friction was there. But I think that NFLPA story that was unearthed by Pablo Torre is going to come into play in a big way here.
Yeah.
Whether it's because of what Justin Peterson in the chat mentioned, where the NFLPA just doesn't have the leadership to properly fight this, or whether it's the NFL citing, hey, remember that J.C. Treader clip? Kind of looks like that. Yep, void is good.
Yeah, I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
You know, and really, like, look, that's a really big man. And Jones fracture, of course, is like, it's way up high on the outside of your foot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's a painful injury, especially when you're a big dude. And, you know, if he can't play, he can't play. But then, you know, the Raiders they better have all of the documentation. Because mm-hmm. if they don't, it's just going to come back to look really, really bad on them.
You have to, it's going to take a lot. It like you said, it's going to have to be, he was actively hurting his own foot or very clearly not doing any rehab, trying to get better.
Yeah.
Trying to get on the field. So, we'll see how that plays out. My initial reaction is it doesn't look great. But if it comes down to, man, he just was not. Let's take the voided money out of this.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and I know you can't really, but try and follow me. Just the act of Christian Wilkins, a good player, but you know what? He's not, whatever thing he's not doing, he's just not doing it the way the Pete Carroll Raiders are going to do things. They're moving on. Now, would they have done that if they didn't think they could void the money? I don't know. But to me, if you're trying to find like, hey, what's not sleazy about this? I think it's that.
Yeah.
You're trying to find some like silver lining. I think that's it. But we'll see.
It's a mess, man.
Pulling for the Raiders to get out of the...
It's always a mess.
Out of their rut. Some of the names, by the way, on this depth chart for the Raiders on the defensive line. You've got Adam Butler, Lakey Fotu, Tonka Hemingway, Jonah Laulu.
These are all fake
Tank
names.
Booker. J.J. Pegas, I believe is his name. He was a he's a rookie from Ole Miss. And then Lockie Tossey. Incredible, incredible names. Really good. Those are all rock solid defensive line names. That might be the best defensive tackle group in the league.
That's
Tonka
crazy.
Hemingway? Come on.
The one guy's name sounds like Laffy Taffy.
Lockie Tossey, I believe is the pronunciation there, yeah.
That's awesome.
That's some rock solid defensive tackle names, man.
And it's certainly if I'm an old ball coach and you're like, hey, Laffy Taffy, get over here. Yeah,
oh, God.
That's happening.
The most disrespectful thing that could, yeah. That's just old man, huge gut,
short shorts,
chaw on his lip, whistle that he never uses,
white polo shirt tucked in way too tight,
sunburnt.
Man.
Who is that coach? Oh my God, I can't. I'm not even gonna remember his name. There was that coach on the Browns that went viral a couple years ago when they were on Hard Knocks. I can't remember. It doesn't matter. Anyways. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. We'll have Anthony Slater from ESPN joining us shortly to talk about the Jonathan Kuminga situation from Golden State's side, because I think that the Kuminga domino is one that while the Warriors need that domino to fall so they can execute the rest of their offseason, I think for the Kings, it feels like the dominoes have stopped falling. But if a Kuminga deal goes through, then it leads to some new dominoes having to go down. Because I don't think it functionally works of just, yeah, Devin Carter, Dario Saric out, Jonathan Kuminga in, great, all right, let's rock this.
There's a ripple effect that will happen.
Yes.
It has to happen.
Yes. If you're talking about, and again, this is just, we mentioned this a little bit yesterday. But if you're talking about Jonathan Kuminga is going to come in and play the four because they want to move Keegan Murray to the three. They want Keegan to get more minutes at the three. Okay, mm-hmm. Cool. DeMar DeRozan is the starting three. I mean, you're moving DeMar DeRozan to the bench.
And what does that mean for Nate Clifford?
Are you moving DeMar DeRozan to the two and Zach LaVine's going to be your starting point guard? Is that what we're doing?
Oh, no.
You can't do that. So there are, if you're just going to insert Jonathan Kuminga at the four, you then have to figure out what does that mean for DeMar DeRozan?
It's always been the question.
What does it mean for Malik Monk or Zach LaVine or Nate Clifford? I don't think it's a ripple effect. I think there are waves that happen.
Well, not
like
only
if
that.
If a Kuminga deal gets close, it's going to be because there's another deal moving somebody else.
Well, there has to be.
Yeah, just financially, yeah.
Yeah, because if not, the Kings go right into the luxury tax, which they said they're not going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest with you, there's very little way to get that deal done, without either paying Kuminga barely anything or without him, like...
Which he wouldn't agree to.
No, it's like super, super complicated. Like, this deal, when it does happen with whoever it does happen with, it's going to be complex.
Yeah, because I think that's one of the things that I always, I don't want to say forget about, but I leave out of my thought process a little bit, is the Kings and Warriors can agree to a trade.
Mm-hmm.
The Kings can go, all right, fine, we want this guy so bad, here's Keon Ellis, and here's Keegan Murray, and here's a first-round pick. I know they wouldn't, just follow me. And the Warriors can go, awesome, that's the kind of deal we're looking for, great, let's do it. And then the Kings and Kuminga don't come to an agreement on a deal, and the deal's dead. He has to agree to said sign and trade.
That's just a
thing that I constantly, because I always go, okay, if I'm the Kings, I'm doing a first. I will happily do a first round pick if it gets a deal done. But then it comes down to, okay, what are you paying him? And then can you move off of DeMar DeRozan? Can you move off of Malik Monk? How does this work with your rotation? And it gets messy. And I think that's why you continue to hear people talk about, yeah, this might go into August. Yeah, this might go into September.
And that's why I keep asking the one question, who's going to tell DeMar?
Shams. I keep saying, I'll call him. I don't know the guy.
That would be a tough conversation from Shams.
Well, all right. That's James. I'm Kyle. Anthony Slater, ESPN. He covers the Warriors and has done a great job doing so for a long time. Covers the Kings as well, but primarily covers the Warriors. We'll talk to him about this Kuminga stuff from Golden State side. Anthony also went and spent some time with Jonathan Kuminga earlier in the offseason and has, I think, a really good perspective on all this. So, from Golden State side, what's going on here? Do they like the Kings offer? Do they not like the Kings offer? Are they looking for something specific from Sacramento? We'll talk about all that with Anthony Slater from ESPN coming up next. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're the Insiders. Jiffy Lube sponsors this program. It's ESPN 1320, and that is Sacramento's sports leader. Bruh.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Talking a lot about Jonathan Kuminga this morning.
Yeah.
Saw some reporting from Shams Charania from ESPN yesterday, and we said, all right.
This morning or this month.
Yesterday, this morning, whatever it is. We said, hey, we got to talk to Anthony Slater about what the heck's going on with Jonathan Kuminga. Anthony Slater, ESPN's Anthony Slater, joining us now on the Elk Grove Kia Talk Line. Anthony, how's it going, man?
What's up? How are y'all?
Hanging in there.
What's going on?
Trying to figure out what the hell is happening with Jonathan Kuminga, because it feels like from the Golden State side, we've seen the same reporting once a day. It's just a daily thing where, okay, it's D'Anthony Melton, it's Al Horford, now we're hearing Seth Curry, and they're waiting for this Jonathan Kuminga thing to play out. Are the Warriors motivated to try and either sign or move Jonathan Kuminga maybe more than they were a couple of weeks ago?
Motivated to sign him. They tried to sign him. They had an offer out to him this week, and I would say there was the most movement I felt from them this week. And Jonathan Kuminga, at this point, as me and Shams reported yesterday, has just decided not to do it at this point. He's not in any type of rush to, accept the offer currently on the table from the Warriors. And clearly at this point, the Warriors' plan as of yesterday was to have Kuminga back on the roster, which in my opinion has been kind of their plan the entire time, considering – the dynamics at play, the sign and trade offers that are and aren't on the table. And I still think that is, again, like in a relative likelihood, considering the Warriors' standing and in the restricted market and everything at play. But Jonathan Kuminga has to accept an offer at some point, and at this point, he is not ready to.
You know, when you talk about the Warriors put out an offer, do you have any idea what the parameters of that deal would be?
Yeah, but I'm not going to get too into that right now.
So when you say motivated to sign him, does that mean that was the first like legitimate offer they'd made him?
Let's retrace back to the finals, and you'll probably think that's a wild place for me to go back to, but let's start with the finals. The moment after the finals, you can start negotiating with your own free agents, right?
Right.
You know, you saw some deals in the lead up to free agency. You guys can probably remember Harrison Barnes signing prior to free agency back with the Kings, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they could have, at that moment, started to get offers after Jonathan Kuminga and trying to solve the restricted free agency all the way back then. But they neither side really, talked firm contract offers in the lead up to free agency when they could have, or in the early days of free agency, because it was very clear Jonathan Kuminga wanted to explore his outside market, and the Warriors were willing to let him go try to find sign and trades. And we're certainly, you know, voicing that you go try to find sign and trade offers that work for you from a contract standpoint, but also is unless you're signing an offer sheet, and there wasn't many teams out there able to do that, you need to go get a suitor who's also willing to give an appealing enough trade package that we would accept that. So three sides have to agree here, right? You know, Kings, for example, have to want Kuminga and give him a contract. Kuminga has to like that contract from a team like the Kings, and then the Warriors have to accept what the Kings are willing to offer, and that never really materialized over, you know, X amount of days. I think the Warriors never really necessarily thought that was going to materialize, and then now have come back to Jonathan Kuminga with what they thought, as we reported, was, you know, a fair market offer considering what else is out there, and Jonathan Kuminga said, for now, no thanks, I'm going to keep exploring my options.
Yeah, it's all interesting the way that, this is playing out, and I know restricted free agency has been just an absolute nightmare this year, for specifically for the players. But the other element there that you left out, it's not just everyone has to accept the deal, but then the Kings have to find a way for someone else to take someone of these players in order to bring in a player like Kuminga and fit him under the cap because of the base year compensation. So this is such a complex trade if it were to happen. What do you think the likelihood now, like if you're reading tea leaves, is that he's back with the Warriors or that he finds a new team?
Yeah, you know, I think the qualifying offers is a real possibility later in the summer. I think, you know, the Warriors may be up in their offer or you know, eventually the standstill ending and him ending back on the Warriors remains a real likelihood. But, you know, they again, like at some point do the Warriors decide they'll take, you know, a lesser type of sign and trade offer? Do they lower their asking price? Do other teams come in and up their own asking price? I think there's a lot still to play out. And I think, you know, while these restricted free agents do not have a ton of leverage in these scenarios, like time is leverage, you know, and I think Kuminga is kind of using that right now. That's why we're sitting here in July, whatever it is today, 25th, and with no real answers, no firm movement, because I just think time helps him a little bit. And I feel like I'm about to fire up the Sacramento aggregation machines here, but like,
nice.
For example, Kuminga, you know, had contact with the Kings in the last couple of days, and it's the first time he's met Scott Perry, and this wasn't in person, but it's the first time he's communicated with Scott Perry, Doug Christie, and BJ Armstrong. And, you know, from what I gather, he liked, you know, the pitch that Scott Perry gave, and, you know, he's open-minded to the idea of Sacramento. And I think part of that, I know part of that is because part of that pitch is, you know, you're talking starting role, you're talking bigger opportunity than the Warriors are necessarily offering right now. And I think that's the part that shouldn't get lost in this whole situation is Jonathan Kuminga is not just looking for the exact contract he wants in free agency. He's looking for the opportunity he wants on the court.
Anthony Slater, ESPN, talking Jonathan Kuminga and kind of the latest with this. Do you anticipate, is how do I want to, when we talk about this lasting into August and maybe even into September, is that Jonathan Kuminga just kind of knowing he has time and trying to wait this out? Or is there some kind of like trying to stick it to Golden State a little bit? Like, no, I know I can kind of screw you over by doing this. And so we might see this drag on because of that.
I think he's in no mood to do favors to the Warriors and, you know,
sure.
Like acquiesce to the idea that they want to wrap up business quick. He, for the first time in his career, has a small level of agency over his career. It's restricted free agency. We see how, like, you know, non-powerful that is in many ways, but like, no, nah, if there is still, you know, weeks and months to try to find the exact opportunity that he thinks is best for him, basketball and financially, you know, to him, it would be no reason for him to not take the time. I don't think it's, you know, I don't think priority one is sticking it to the Warriors, but priority one is certainly not, you know, like I said, helping the Warriors wrap up business as quick as possible because he feels some level of loyalty or love to them.
Sure.
You know what, Slater, I want to ask you this. What is it going to take for the Kings if they were to come up with a deal with Kuminga's side, but what are they going to have to give up? Because we've already heard, you know, that you know, the Dario Saric, Devin Carter, maybe a protected first or a couple of seconds. That's probably not getting it done. What do you think would be something that gets it done?
Well, I'll say this. First round picks are very much, you know, interesting to the Warriors because even if they can't get, you know, the players they would exactly want in a sign and trade scenario with Kuminga now, you know, picks can then be rerouted, right, mm-hmm. later for players that help the core. And that is still their priority is to, you know, either get Kuminga back to help this Steph Curry team next year or, you know, use him to get players who can really help them contend. And of the two most concrete teams that are in the mix, and there's others that maybe could join, but we've reported it's Kings and Suns. The Suns do not have a tradable first, which is a big problem for them in this conversation. The Kings do have tradable first, and they have appealing first because they're Sacramento Kings first-round picks. They also have, 2032 Minnesota?
2031, and they have they still have partial of the 2027 Spurs pick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a much fuller cupboard in this conversation than Phoenix has.
Yeah.
And, you know, they have a Keon Ellis, they have a Keegan Murray. I'm not at all saying that they're going to put those type of guys on the table, but I'm just saying, like, when we talk about fuller cupboards, the Kings do in this scenario. The offer you mentioned, the names that have been thrown about, that is not going to appeal enough for the Warriors to you know, shake any level of movement. But if there is maybe a frustration level that deepens into the summer, and if there's maybe more appealing unprotected type first on the table, if a Keon Ellis potentially is, I don't know, maybe the conversation does change.
Last thing for you, Anthony, you've been super generous with your time. We appreciate you. How do you think this ends, and has that answer changed at all over the last couple of weeks?
No, I would still say I do think Jonathan Kuminga plays for the Warriors to start next season because they are, you know, they kind of just, but all the stuff we've mentioned, I mean, I think everybody kind of understands just the team control leverage and the difficulties in, making a trade happen now compared to January. But, you know, unless they are going to really kind of go to a place with their contract offer that's more appealing to Kuminga, I do think it drags into like August, September range. And he potentially, like I said, is back on a $7.9 million qualifying offer, which would just create probably an uncomfortable camp and, you know, drama filled. Part of the appeal, which you guys understand on the qualifying offer, while it's significantly less money than he's even being offered at this point right now, it comes with an inherent no trade clause. Mm-hmm. So you control your immediate future where you can kind of direct yourself where you want to go. And also you become an unrestricted free agent next summer when there is theoretically more cap space and more people, you know, willing to come after you. If Jonathan Kuminga is audacious enough to go down that road and reject more guaranteed money and immediate money, that gives him a lot more control over his future. I'm not saying I'd necessarily advise it, but I think that's on the table.
Anthony Slater, ESPN, does a great job covering the Warriors in the NBA for them. You said August or September. We look forward to having this exact conversation with you again in a few weeks.
Yeah, I mean, it's the team I most primarily cover has made zero moves, and it's July 25th, so here we go. I might not get a summer.
You're open.
Job's already in the middle of free agency.
You've made more moves in Golden State, as Anthony. Thank you so much, man. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, fellas.
Later, bro. Anthony Slater, ESPN. Huh. Jonathan Kuminga had contact with the Kings in the last couple of days. Liked what they were pitching.
And he won't tell us the contract offer because that offer is low.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that offer is 3 years and $36 million or something.
Or 460 or 345 or something right above the mid-level
offering
exception.
Offering him the Dennis Schroeder contract is tough.
Tough. It's tough love going on
Hey,
there.
But it's a fully guaranteed third year.
Yeah.
It's not exactly the same.
That's what Christian Wilkins thought.
Oh, come on. Come on. All right. Second hour coming up. We'll get more into this Jonathan Kuminga stuff. We've got Fantasy Friday. You're like, fantasy football on July 25th. Yeah, there's been a ton of movement in the NFL this season. There's been a draft. There are so many fantasy implications from what's gone on in the offseason. We're going to talk to our guy, Faraz Siddiqui, Upper Hand Fantasy, upperhandfantasy.com. Go check it out. Make sure to follow him on Instagram. And we take your questions, too, during this segment, because while James and I have questions about our fantasy football teams and the nature of fantasy or in the landscape of fantasy football, we know you do, too. So go ahead and hit us up at the Chatty House on youtube.com/ESPN1320, twitch.tv/ESPN1320. We got to step aside. If I'm here for any longer, Charlie's going to kick the door down and punch me in the mouth. So we're going to pay some bills on the radio side. We'll talk to Ferocity Q at 1120. That's all coming up in the second hour on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center.